These are called teaching sessions, but there's not really any teaching. But words are limited. We have to find some words to describe it. Teaching would mean that I'm adding something to you. Knowledge, information, facts, or an experience. But that's not what this is about. It's not about adding anything to you. There's so much there already. More than enough. You have more information than the Buddha ever had. And of course, there are beautiful maps or signposts in existence, and that may be some of the spiritual information that you have. Beautiful maps and signposts in the form of ancient scriptures that point the way. To the transformation of human consciousness. And here we are not using any of the existing maps or signposts, beautiful as they are, profound as they are. Many of which originated in this country, which could be called the birthplace of spirituality. Not that there's anything wrong with those maps, they are beautiful, those signposts. But every age creates its new signposts that corresponds to the needs of the age. The old ones can still work if used rightly, or they can become a hindrance if used wrongly. Now, you may notice I use the word maps or signposts to describe ancient teachings, spiritual teachings. And why? What is a map is never it. The map is not the territory. The signpost is not the place to which it points. So all teachings, ancient or contemporary, point beyond themselves. And the essence of all teachings is the possibility of the transformation of human consciousness to a state that is free of bondage, free of suffering, free of conditioning. So the teachings point the way to to that. And they are beautiful, because those genuine teachings came out of that transformed state of consciousness. Those few individuals in the past who became free of their conditioning, free of the false sense of self, false me, the egoic identity, they taught out of that state. The teaching arose out of that transformed state of consciousness. And so it has beauty and power. And it has such beauty often that these ancient teachings drew so much attention to themselves because they're so beautiful, and you can compare one map with another, one signpost with another, that people began to study, compare, and collect maps and signposts and interpret them. And from then it was just a small step to forgetting that to which they point, because one became so absorbed in the form of the teaching. And not only that, after a while, when you began to love that signpost so much, that map so much, you had a sense of identity with it. And all those other people who also loved this signpost so much. And you could begin to argue with other groups of people who loved other signposts, forgetting that they point to the same place. And then you could carry, metaphorically speaking, the burden of signposts with you. That has happened, can still happen. And then it's also possible that a signpost, when there was readiness in a human being, he or she just needed to hear, to look once, twice, and immediately realize the truth of it. And it worked as it should. This teaching is relatively neutral culturally. It's not Buddhist, not Christian, not Hindu, and yet it embraces the essence of all of them. It is not rigid in its form. There's nothing to believe in. And the essence of this teaching, which is our gathering here this week, is the possibility of the transformation of human consciousness, your consciousness, so to speak. And since all language is limited, form is limited, these words are also signposts, of course. Since all form is limited, every word that I speak is also limited and isn't quite it. It's only one perspective on it. And even if I say the transformation of human consciousness, it's not quite true. No single statement that anybody makes can contain the truth. It is a perspective on it. This is good to know once you know that, so that you do not grasp one statement, one perspective, identify with one perspective and say, this is the truth. The transformation of human consciousness, yes, this is one perspective on it, but it implies then that something in you needs to change, become transformed before this new state arises. Something in you needs fixing. It implies that, but that's not true. Transformation of consciousness also implies that you need time for this change to happen. But that is not the case. So what is the essence then of that transformation of consciousness that doesn't need time? Is that possible? And here we come to the essence, and the only reason why we are here is to know that state of consciousness for ourselves, not as something that needs to be achieved in the future, but as something that is already in you now. Now, how do you know that beyond making it into another belief? Because you could adopt that belief when you hear certain teachings, they tell you you're already enlightened. And that could be a very satisfying belief to add to the content of your mind. And then for a while you could convince yourself that this is true. The teacher told me that nothing needs to change, I'm already enlightened. For a while, that adds a little bit to the mind-made identity, the mind-made sense of self, and you feel great. You finally made it. The mind-made sense of self always seeks to improve itself, to add something, to complete itself, to enhance its sense of self. And if you can catch a belief, a big, powerful belief that somebody gives you, and you can then add it to the accumulated content of your mind with which you identify as yourself, then that for a while is very satisfying. You've become big in that. The self has grown to an enlightened, me, the enlightened one. But it's only satisfying for a while, and then life will show you that that wasn't it, and maybe that was you're not quite enlightened yet. And then there's looking for the next thing to identify with, experience, another belief, more knowledge of real. Then you look for the real spiritual attainment to add to me. And so the striving away from who you already are continues. The movement towards future continues. The grasping, the continuous reaching out and grasping to complete yourself. Spiritually, materially, you've gone beyond that, perhaps, and now spiritually. Relationships, maybe you've gone beyond that. Self-completion, the looking for that. Here comes this strange teaching that says You can never find that in the future. And yet, don't believe me. If it is already the case, if you are already free, enlightened in your essence, then what is the difference between you and the spiritual master, if there is such a thing? Well, one could say the master knows this to be true and you don't know it to be true. Yes, but how do you know it to be true? How does that manifest? And it's very, very simple. It's not the case that the master knows more than you. Some masters may do. Other masters may be very simple people, little education. You know a thousand times more than they do on the level of knowledge. But they know the one thing that matters. And you know many things. So the answer is simple, and I'll tell it to you now in case you want to leave, go home early. Because I don't want to build up this and say, I'm going to tell you the answer on day 6. The master is totally at one with this moment. He or she does not oppose internally this moment. He or she offers no inner resistance to this moment, to the isness of now, to whatever arises now. It is not resisted internally. And that is the end of all that is false in you. The entire egoic structure depends on your inner resistance to the suchness of this moment. It perpetuates itself, the mind-made sense of self perpetuates itself basically through its resistance. It is a state of resistance, a state of insufficiency, a state of continuous wanting or fearing the mental projection that you call future. Wanting and needing the future and something as something that comes towards you to add to me, to complete me, and fearing that something may arise in that mental projection that we call future that might diminish me. The two movements connected with future, the enhancement of one's sense of self, no matter what form that may take, that is looked for in and through future. That is why this enormous mental pull away from the aliveness and fullness of now into future, because what is being sought, the seeking, is to add more. The future will complete you. And this is true up to a point. You need future in your spiritual practice. I'm not completely saying this is all nonsense. No. You need spirit. For many people, spiritual practice implies a progressive movement, towards the liberated state. But a point comes in your progressive movement where you suddenly realize the fallacy of time as far as the one thing is concerned that truly matters in your life, which is knowing who you are beyond form, finding yourself beyond mental constructs. Then suddenly you realize the fallacy of future as far as your spiritual liberation is concerned. But before you could realize that, you needed your spiritual practices. You needed time. You needed suffering. You needed, and spiritual practice is not necessarily spiritual practice in the conventional sense for people. Spiritual practice for many people means suffering. There are many people who have no spiritual teacher except suffering, and suffering is the greatest spiritual teacher. So they needed that because there are two statements that are synonymous when I say you do not need, ultimately, you do not need time. This is not true for everybody. It is only true for that human being who can listen to that now and realize the depths and the truth of it. And we are only here to explore the depths and the truth of that statement for the whole week, which is time. We explore the timeless state of consciousness here. Something in you doesn't even like what I'm saying, perhaps in some of you, because you are still identified with time and the movement of time as the me that seeks completion through it. And if only that me, the little egoic self in you, listens to these words, it won't like that because its very existence is bound up with time. So it is quite possible that some of you may, if you haven't been here before, may feel a strong impulse to leave. And there's nothing wrong with that. It simply means there's not yet the readiness to hear the simplicity of this truth and the depth of it that says you don't need time. And there is fear even to want to go more deeply into that statement to see what that means. There is fear. Who fears that? The time-bound sense of self fears that statement. And that's fine. That means you do not need more time is not true for you. It means you need more time. It's fine. But this also is connected to suffering. There's a synonymous statement with you do not need more time. It is the statement you do not need more suffering, which is the ultimate teaching of the Buddha, the end of suffering. You do not need more time implies you do not need more suffering. And again, this may be true for you or it may not be true for you. It is not a statement that is true for everybody. So whatever your spiritual practice has been, whether it's been through teachings or through suffering or a combination of both, the question is whether there is an inner readiness to hear these words and to, if only obscurely, sense the truth of these words. Not understand. If you start thinking about it, you won't get very far. You don't need more time is true, therefore is true and not true. And this is not satisfying to the mind. I will often say things that are true and not true. That pointer may be true for you or it may not be true for you. The mind doesn't like that. It says it is either true or untrue. And in science, this is the case, well, has been until recently, until they discovered molecular physics and subatomic particles and see that they behave in such a way that those statements don't apply there anymore either. So the question then, do I need time? Do we need time for realization? The answer would be, you need time until you realize that you do not need time anymore. So all we are doing this week is to go deeper into this statement, this to explore where this signpost, which is these words, to explore where this signpost points. You don't need more time. I don't need more time to be who I am, to be myself fully, completely. How do I know that beyond making it into another belief? How do I know that beyond me giving you new practices that give you more time to practice, become good at, and then regard as an attainment, once you've become good at it, as an attainment you can add to yourself? It feels a little bit bigger through that. So how do you know it? You know it, and here, through entering into and I'll say it now, it may frighten some of you, entering here, as this is our only practice this week, only one practice, entering into the surrendered state of consciousness that does not need more of anything. It does not need more of anything. Because if you need more of anything, even spiritual attainment, that is not the surrendered state of consciousness. If you need more knowledge, that is not the surrendered state of consciousness. If you need more experience, that's not the surrendered state of consciousness, let alone other basic, we know all the other things, status, possessions, money. If you need the psychological need for the next moment, which is deep in everyone, I need that inner reaching out to the next. What's next? What's next? What's that restless looking towards the next moment, which is part of the normal human state of consciousness? That's all the unsurrendered state of consciousness. The surrendered state of consciousness, and this is vital, and so I have to repeat this because it's easy to forget. More, you don't need more anymore to complete yourself. The more on the level of playing with phenomenal things is beautiful. You need more food later today. You need more skills. You can learn a few more new skills. That's part of living in this form. But more in the psychological need for more, where the self needs to enhance itself through more, realizing that is the unsurrendered state. And the last thing that people don't want to let go of is you even surrender the need to understand more. And then you go beyond, you go into the surrendered state of consciousness when you simply welcome the suchness of this moment, whatever form it takes. That at first looks like an absurd spiritual practice, because very often, in fact more often than not, this moment does not look all that satisfying. So to say, I totally surrender to the suchness of this moment, including all the whatever I feel is not right with me, what I'm feeling at this moment, it may be restlessness, it may be anger, whatever it may be. What would you mean? You want me to be stuck in this moment forever? But of course, that's not what it is. And what better place to enter the surrendered state than India? And maybe this is why this country has produced more spiritual masters than any other. You have to surrender here. India teaches you to surrender. That is the, even without going to any teachers, it is a teaching in itself. The illusion that you can control the material universe, the illusion that out there there's anything substantial that lasts, which you could have in the West because you have substantial shopping malls and freeways and everything works, it all works. And it gives you the illusion it gives you the illusion that there's something lasting there. And this, sooner or later, even there, reveals itself as an illusion. The shopping malls will crumble unless you crumble first, your physical form. It's insubstantial, but the insubstantiality of the physical is more apparent here. And the only way to be here, unless you want to suffer, is to surrender to what is. It doesn't mean you can't say, oh, could you please heat up this soup, or whatever, I prefer hot to cold, or whatever it is. You can say something and do something and initiate action, but in that, be surrendered, because it may not work. And whatever action arises, let it arise out of the state of alignment with the form that this moment takes. Even if it looks unsatisfying. During this week, sometimes the form that this moment takes will be beautiful. Oh! And then the next moment, or rather the next form that this one moment, the only moment there is, takes, may be not beautiful. It may be a limitation on your freedom. For most of you, or all of you, unless you are ascetic practitioners, where you are now is not as comfortable as your home. Facilities, you haven't got, so you have limitations on your life here that you may not have at home. You have others there. You have limitations on your life here, physical even. The food may be strange. Many kinds of limitations. And so there is, you can observe the reactivity of the little me that says no to what is internally and wants to be somewhere else, or blames or criticizes or complains in the head about the form that this moment takes. That is the unsurrendered state. That is how the egoic entity survives through resistance. And it can get very strong here if you don't know how it operates. So our spiritual practice here during this week is just be watchful and alert and ask yourself, observe yourself internally, am I in the surrendered state or the unsurrendered state of consciousness? The unsurrendered state denies, resists, or tries to get away from what is. The surrendered state has surrendered its need for more, has surrendered its need for this moment to be different from what is, because it has recognized that what is already as it is. And it has recognized the futility of resisting that internally. It embraces the suchness of this moment. Whatever form this moment takes, you do not demand that the form that this moment takes should be different from what it is. You do not oppose that. What happens when you no longer demand that the form that this moment takes, and please observe this little signpost I'm giving you when I say the form that this moment takes. Because this moment is eternal, there's only this eternal one now. Never changes, it cannot, it is remains eternally as now. What appears in it is the world of form. A form of life appears in the vastness of the field that is the eternal now. In this vastness, forms appear. And they appear, and that is the appearance of this moment. The form that arises, a situation, a place, an event, a person, comes. It's happening now. Of course it's happening now. Nothing can happen that is not now. Whatever happens must happen in this eternal field of now. We cannot fully understand through the mind what that means, but it is an amazing realization that there is nothing that is not now. To be and now, life and now, are totally synonymous, totally one. Nothing has ever happened that wasn't now. Nothing will, can ever happen that is not now. How? Future moment can only appear as now. Otherwise it has no reality except a mental projection. And when is it happening? Now. And the memory of a past moment, there is no such thing really of a past moment, as there is no such thing as a future moment, there's only form that it takes. There's only one moment, which is now, one eternal now. Now, the form that this now takes changes, the form that appears in it, as you go through life, a continuous flux of forms. Now, most people, all they know is the forms that arise in the now. They have a relationship with those forms, which is either a relationship of desire or a relationship of fear. They want to have these forms, or they have aversion towards these forms. And you can observe this week, how the good things come to you, how beautiful the river, the holy river, the sunset. And the next moment, there's something dreadful happens. It's the now, it's not really the next moment. Even I use those words sometimes because language works in that way. There's no such thing as the next moment. The form that the moment takes then changes. So most people, all they relate to is the forms that arise in the now, and their relationship is one of fear or desire. They fear or desire those forms, aversion or attraction towards these forms, because all they know is the forms. What they don't know is the now, beyond the forms. And this doesn't make sense to the mind either. This is a signpost that points you. The truth of this cannot be understood through thought, because the transformed state of consciousness is beyond thought. This is where we are now moving. Let's see why. What happens when, as is the normal in the normal state of consciousness, when you resist internally or deny or run away from internally, from the isness of now, the form that this moment takes, the reaction against it, the reaction against the form that this moment takes as an inner contraction, an inner no, an inner running away from it, it strengthens the form identity in you that is the mind-made self, identified with mental, emotional forms, content of your mind. The mind-made self, the me, with its experiences and its conditioning, its knowledge, it strengthens its form identity through reacting to other forms. So you get trapped in the world of form when you are in a reactive relationship towards what arises in the now. And to be in a reactive relationship, which is desire or fear, is part of the normal state of consciousness. And the reactive relationship to the world of form is what keeps the me, the egoic entity, going. The more, every time you react against, your form identity contracts and strengthens as the me, you feel stronger in your sense of self. And you can notice it in yourself when you argue with somebody and you're trying to be right. And this is a very common example of strengthening your sense of self by identifying with a mental position and fighting some other mental position there. So you're reacting to form. Or an event comes into your life, a person comes, a situation comes, and there's a reaction, or there's you strengthening your form identity through the reactivity to form. And that's how it keeps the world going. That keeps that state of consciousness going. To go beyond that, and it only works if you were not ready, you wouldn't even want to listen to this. The fact that you sit here and listen means the readiness is there. The readiness to go beyond that and enter the state of non-resistance, enter the state of surrender, of welcoming whatever form arises.